Hi everyone, it's Roger and Matt here from the Disc Kingdom Podcast. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the Lion King movie. We're going to be talking about all the Marvel stuff that got announced at San Diego Comic-Con. We'll also be talking a little bit about Hulu Disney Plus, because I know that was something that Matt wanted to talk about. And then we're also going to be talking about a little bit about comics. So let's jump into it. Before we go any further, now we shall just quickly remind you, go check us out over at DiscKingdom.com. Like, follow and subscribe on all the different social medias. Also, if you're on audio platforms, or especially if you're on YouTube as well. So let's jump into our first topic of the week. Let's do San Diego, because I think we've got to start with the big stuff. Marvel announced a ton of Marvel movies and shows. Shows for Disney Plus, a number of different movies. I'm just going to quickly just run through them. We did go through this a little bit of detail as well on the What's on Disney Plus podcast as well today. So I'm not going to go too much into that. But there are certain aspects, obviously, which relate to not only just the movies, but how it will affect merchandise going forward, and where I think we'll obviously see waves, because we tend to see that, especially with Marvel merchandise. You really see those waves of toys and bits and pieces coming, maybe usually about a month or so before the movies hit. So let's just run through the list.
Yep.
Eternals hits cinemas on November the 6th, 2020, and stars Angelina Jolie. That one is a set of characters I have got zero knowledge about.
Yeah, all I know about it is that they're all characters created by Jack Kirby, who created Captain America and Fantastic Four. That's literally all I know.
Yeah, I have zero knowledge on these characters at all. So now let's just looking on. We have got Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings. And that's coming out February the 12th, 2021. We also have Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness, coming on May 7th, 2021. Interesting note to cite from that one. It's going to be interconnected with the WandaVision Disney Plus show, which is going
and
to
be also out. It might be the first horror movie from Marvel, apparently.
Yeah, and then we've also got Thor, Love and Thunder, where we're going to see basically Jane Foster becomes Thor. So they're going to be doing that comic book story. I'll be honest, I've read some of the comic books. I thought they were fantastic, especially like the ones that did the death of her. So let's give it a go. I mean, we've pretty much seen Thor kind of down low. So, I mean, he was obviously worthy in the last one, but we'll see where he goes from there. Black Widow is the next one, May the 1st, 2020. I really like the look of this one, especially the fact that they're going to be bringing Florence Pugh in as Yelena, which is going to be essentially the Black Widow 2, because they're going to basically relaunch with a younger version. And then we're going to have Blade coming in Wave 5, and they've announced that on there, which was definitely a huge shock surprise. No one was expecting that one. And they also confirmed that for Wave 5 or Phase 5, we are going to see Black Panther 2, Captain Marvel 2, and also Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The reason for that delay to Guardians 3 was because James Gunn is having to make Suicide Squad for DC first. Because, well, if they hadn't have actually gone off and fired him, they wouldn't have had that problem. But that was the issue that they're going to have. They also dropped hints about X-Men and also Fantastic Four in the future. And there were also a lot of Disney Plus shows. So we had Falcon and the Winter Soldier coming in fall 2020. We've got WandaVision coming spring 2021. Loki as well in spring 2021. Marvel's What If coming in summer 2021. And finally, Hawkeye coming in fall 2021. A massive list of shows and movies. It really, this blew up on social media. Everyone seemed to go bonkers.
Yeah, when I was covering it showed all of these slots for 2021, and people were like, are we really going to get like 7 movies in 2021? But thank goodness it turned out half of them were Disney Plus shows.
Well, I mean, to be fair, even if you had them all as movies, that's 4, that would be like 4 a year, but there was a lot in 2021 with all the TV series. I think the TV series are really allowing them to stretch out those older characters that maybe wouldn't have gotten their own TV show, their own movie. I don't know if Hawkeye would have got his own movie. I don't think one Scarlet Witch would have got her own movie if it wasn't for the TV series.
Nor Vision either.
No. I think Loki, there was a chance, but I think it was always going to be tied up with 4. And I think also the Loki series, it probably gave Tom Hiddleston, that kind of thing. Oh, I am actually doing my own little thing here. It's not about Thor. I'm not in the shadows of somebody else.
True. And What If is going to be the first animated project from the MCU. So that's worth checking out because we got, I believe, 95% of the MCU actors to come back. The only two that aren't returning are obviously Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans.
I think basically it's the two guys that are done. The two guys, they've basically...
Yeah, very done.
They're done. So that anyone that's still kind of under contract is doing them. I don't think they necessarily count into doing it, but I suspect a number of the actors are probably going, this is a sweet little gig, an extra side gig on the side, because it's only it's voice acting, so it's not quite as, you know, they don't have to gear up, they don't have to put anything on. It's going to be interesting where they go with that one, because that one's either thing, I think, going to be a really big hit, or it could be a bit of a flop.
Well, you never know, considering this is the first animated project which is canon to the MCU in a way.
Well, it's kind of, I mean, I always love those comic books, the What If ones, of like something completely random.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be one of those situations of like merchandise side, it's going to be very difficult, because if they do, I don't know, I think Sharon, was it Agent Carter, becomes Captain America. Are they going to run out a load of figures and stuff based on that? Probably not. I think they're going to see how that one goes. I'm perfectly expecting to see a number of like Scarlet Witch and Vision toys to come out. I think you're going to see, you know, the kind of the standard kind of stuff, some new Marvel Legends figures, and I wouldn't, maybe a Lego set or two, but nothing too much on the TV series. I
think Funkos.
Yeah, I think you're going to see all Funkos and things for all of this, because it's just going to be a nice, easy cash to grab in on them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely going to be...
Especially low-key fruited decades.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be like... It seems like now that they've kind of done this whole thing of him getting the Space Stone and escaping, he's no longer dead, and it's maybe no longer telling the story of him as... going back in time. Is now more about he might be traveling through time, but he's not dead and just reliving his youth and all the rest of it. No, he is just alive and kicking.
Yeah, he's just messing around.
Yeah, and that's cool. I mean, I've generally thought that those announcements, the Blade was the surprise. I was surprised there was less. I thought that the actual phase was kind of quite small, because it's only essentially 3 years of releases, but actually it's not even it was not even that. It was really 2020 and 2021. There was only really 2 years of information, so it seems quite a short phase.
There was also one thing I was expecting that didn't happen.
Yeah,
I was expecting a Submariner movie to be announced, but I remember that's still part of Universal and very iffy about solo movies from Universal at the moment.
Yeah, I think that might come along. I think they now know that they've got so many more characters down the line that they can kind of do. I think Shang-Chi is one I'm kind of excited about, because I love martial art movies. I love, you know, Jet Li and Jackie Chan.
Yeah, and the actor is actually from Toronto, so that's a good thing.
Yes, I saw it, because he'd been heavily on the social medias for a while before trying to get the role. So
he asked Marvel to be Shang-Chi back in 2012, and they actually got back to him.
Yeah, it's good. I'm interested in this because it all kind of interconnects up with Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 3 with the Mandarin, and I think this was.
I'm ready for a serious Mandarin, because the one in Iron Man 3 was disappointment.
I liked it. I like the, you know, I like the version that he played of just.
Yeah, it was done better with Mysterio and Far From Home, with the whole fake hero villain thing.
Yeah, I think it worked well, especially I think that that one shot they did with it kind of really helped fix all of this. But just Marvel as a whole, really, really just all over the place. It's kind of, we've got something new, we've got something old, we've got TV series. Generally good, but it is quite a short phase. But it's all about new beginnings and about reset. It's almost like a bit of a reset, because they know they've got the big guns in, but they also want to get ready for the next wave. And then, you know, they're not it's in some ways they're willing to take a few more risks. They're not kind of quite so caught up in the Avengers. There's nothing Avengers for 2 years at least.
Oh, and there is one other thing that we need to clarify. I know some people were expecting Spider-Man to be announced, Spider-Man 3, but that's technically Sony. So they're the ones that are going to announce it, not Disney, unfortunately. So there were some people very disappointed there's no Spider-Man.
Do you know what? It's funny. I didn't actually give any thought about Spider-Man 3 because obviously they're going to want to get it done soon because Tom Holland. But it depends, you know, they want to get some new contracts done. Spider-Man Far From Home just did over $1 billion at the box office. So there's hit one of the litmus tests for Sony. They are expecting to re-sign that deal and maybe expand it a little bit more.
For other characters. And the crossover with Venom is inevitable at this point.
I think Sony have obviously, you know, they've had two huge Spider-Man movies that have done extremely well. And they're showing that working together is a good, it generally just works out best for all parties at the moment. And I think they know that if they brought Venom into the MCU, it'd be even bigger. I think they know that. I wouldn't have a problem with having him as that. I just, the only problem with that is he still did the origin wrong. He needed to have been on Spider-Man Fresh, but that's my.
Yeah, and there was the Stan Lee cameo.
Yes. Like I said, I'm fully expecting him to re-sign because Sony are very much in the modes right now of selling movies and shows to the highest bidder or necessarily who's the right partner. They're not interested in doing deals with making their own streaming service. They know that their butter's best sliced with... Oh, that doesn't make any sense. But basically, it's better off them just making stuff for other streaming services and other platforms and their own movies rather than try, because they just haven't got it in them at the minute.
Yeah, but I think it helps that Sony is a Japanese company, so they don't really see the point of doing that kind of streaming service because that's not really big over there in Japan from what I've heard.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, I know like there's not internet. I don't know, it's odd because you'd think internet would be high, but yeah, they maybe just
like there's only PlayStation as their streaming service. That's about it.
Yeah, I know that there is Disney Deluxe. There's a new version of them over there, but because they're not getting Disney Life, they've kind of, or Disney Plus, they're getting, they had Disney Deluxe open up this year. So let's flip gears now over to, we'll just touch on this because we best mentioned their Disney Plus. This past week at a event in LA, basically, where they were going through showing off some of the new Hulu stuff, was they kind of confirmed that you're going to be able to access Disney Plus through Hulu as an add-on. So obviously that means you're going to have to pay up the moolah. You're going to have to pay for that. But it does mean it'll probably be a bundled option. And it just means that if you are a Hulu subscriber, you're going to be able to get access to that Disney Plus content easier, cheaper, and you're not going to have to fire up a second app or anything like that. And let's just say it was a very popular story over on what's on Disney Plus this week. It blew up. I got the amount of shares and reactions. I was like, okay, people are really digging this.
And I saw some comments. People were actually thinking you were Disney Plus and asking questions.
Yeah, it's just one of those. It's just, I get random emails and messages even through Disney Kingdom about going, is this for sale? It's like, yeah, no, that's not. It's no. You know, it's just one of those things. There's people around. But so I think that's definitely going to be a big plus forward for Hulu as that moves forward. I mean, I know we both live in countries where Hulu doesn't exist and they do want to bring it international.
It's on my Wii U and I can't click on it. Why, Nintendo?
It's just one of those things. They launched it as an international. Well, the difference was Hulu of 6 months ago is no longer the Hulu of now because Hulu is now run by Disney.
Yep.
Whereas 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, it was Warner Brothers, Fox, Disney, and Comcast all working together to kind of
half-ass.
Yeah, there was all about basically half-assing a streaming service to combat Netflix without any of them really having to get their feet wet and just never, so they were just spending out for it and without, and because they're all involved, none of them were really willing to take the hit. You know, they were all much more rather willing to sell stuff to Netflix for a bit more and undercut themselves because and then they all kind of, I think they all started getting the data from Hulu going, because I think that was the key thing. I think they were all getting their data from Hulu and then going, because they would have been entitled to it because they were a shareholder, they would have been like, yeah, this is what we need to do. And so that's obviously going to be a big thing going forward.
Yeah, it does make sense.
Yeah, and I know. Yeah,
Hulu is like the PG-13 R-rated like dumping box for Disney. So all of like, I don't know, like Alien, Predator, Deadpool, that kind of stuff, it's going to go there.
Well, basically, I think you're going to end up with, it's going to be ABC, Freeform, and also FX, plus some Fox content. Some
like massive Family Guy for sure.
You're also going to have the Fox back catalog, maybe some of the Touchstone stuff, maybe some other movies and stuff they've got in the back catalog that doesn't fit under Disney Plus.
Like Sixth Sense and
Signs. Anything that's PG-13 is free for Disney Plus, but I think...
Except for Pirates. Pirates is going to be on Disney Plus for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think we are going to see some bits and pieces. I think they're just going to have to muddle through what they're doing. I think the big questions are going to be on what they do with that 20th Century Fox branding. If they keep it going, or if they do eventually have to get...
I have heard some rumors that they're basically converting 20th Century Fox into their new Touchstone, because they canceled any family-friendly project like The Mouse Guard in favor of more adult-oriented programming.
Yeah. I think that I've also heard that they might even be like licensing 20th Century Fox name for a while.
So that it's just gonna be a brand like Pixar or Marvel, just a thing that's like at the start of the movie and the end of the movie, and that's it.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely see a lot more of that. So shifting away now from the movies and so on, I know you had some comics that you wanted to quickly mention.
The October solicitations just came out, so. Basically, a thing I've noticed is that quite recently, there's been a whole lot of less comics from Disney. Like, very quietly canceling or just converting everything into free issue and miniseries. Like, there's Disney Afternoon Giant that's going on, but it's all reprints from Boom from, like, 10 years ago. So it's just easy to do. And there's DuckTales, which is just a free issue miniseries now. And they're doing these like little retellings of like Snow White and Little Mermaid into free issue series.
Yeah.
But overall, it's just been disappointing seeing these comics slowly like drop in quality and drop in numbers, because all the current Italian stuff is getting translated through a new translator, and a lot of the diehard Disney fans are just not happy with how the translations are turning out lately.
The thing is, there's one thing doing the translation, but you need a human to go through and
it's clean like them it's, up and turn them. Right, now it's just direct translations. Like before, they had people that like reconverted lines to fit more for American audience and doing more references, but now it's just a straight Google Translate.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. And to sell that, I mean, I know, like, you know, I use Google Translate, and you know, it misses words and doesn't quite do it properly. It's enough to kind of understand it, but yeah, you need someone to go through it. I do wonder with the comic book side how the sales have been, because if the sales of those comic books aren't high enough to warrant the amount of money that they're spending on making them, they're not going to survive.
I heard they're pretty low.
Like, I mean, comic books as a whole are generally, you know, Marvel doesn't make money from comic books. You know, it makes money from everything else. It's the comic
book. Toys, movies, games.
The comic books feed all the stories and feed it all, but they use it, essentially, the comic books are like, it's part of the history. They make some money on it, but it's more about they're using the comic books as a way of creating new stories, and they're using it as almost like, you know, that's like the future movies, the future TV, the future comics, video game. They're using the comic books as kind of like the inspiration for it to kind of get going. And I think generally as well, as I don't know if kids today, are they reading the comic books? Are they
like, I would just say they're just reading it through Comixology, because we don't know digital sales. All we know is physical sales. Like, I know some of the Disney stuff and some of the Marvel action stuff tends to be like in the bottom hundreds in terms of sales. Like, we don't even reach the top 100. And I also, it's been confusing people why IDW is doing like kids Marvel comics and kids Star Wars comics. It's like, oh, does that mean Marvel is going to shut down? It's like,
yeah,
no, they're just publishing kids stuff because Marvel doesn't want to do it themselves.
Yeah, I still feel, I think it's a bit like they've just, there's a little gap in the market that IDW, and because it hasn't, has Joe Books gone now?
They're pretty much dead. All they do now is those like Cinebooks, you know, those stupid comics where it's just screenshots of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's all we do.
I know Dark Horse have been doing a lot more on pieces as well, but I just generally don't think kids are reading comic books the same way. If an adult has to go on,
it's mainly just collectors still buying these. Like, most of the people I know are only people that have bought Disney comics for years and years, and they're still buying them, hoping that they'll get better translations. Like, a year ago, Duck Avenger ended because of low sales, and it was a big book. It was like 80 pages each, and it was like $5. So
yeah, I think the big thing really is with kids having access to tablets, smart devices, games, computer games, streaming services, movies, comics just ain't cutting it anymore. As much as it pains me to say that, I just think the numbers, you know, are parents going on to Comicology to purchase comic books for their kids? I don't think they are.
Yeah, every time I bring comics to the elementary schools, whenever I go dropper kids, they're like, oh my gosh, they do comic books? I'm like, yeah, they do comic books, they do Disney, they do everything. It's like, these poor kids don't know.
Well, at the end of the day, when we were kids, they had sold them in supermarkets and on newspapers, and everything was physical. You know, at the end of the day, if they have to find it through an app, and at the end of the day, it's money. And parents aren't spending money on apps in the same way.
Yeah.
And also, like, do they want to play Fortnite, or do they want to play an app on a TV? Or, you know, they've got. Whereas when we were kids, kids' shows were on at a certain time, and then once they ended, that was it. So if you wanted entertainment, you know, you had video game, you might have had to get a comic book or a book or something out, because now they've just got everything on demand. So therefore, where I would go on and read my comic books as a kid, they don't need to, because they aren't being cut off the same way that we were. And
and also pricing is a big thing, because kids' comics are like $3 to $5 at the moment, and most kids aren't going to spend that money.
Well, I mean, if you go into like our supermarkets and look at all the kids' books and magazines, they're all just full up of, I would say, cheap plastic toys that they're trying to outlaw. And they're not really comic books in the there's comic book strips in it, but they're little magazines. And
like those little Frozen and Princess magazines.
Yeah,
those are huge in Europe.
Yeah, they have, you know, we have lots of kid magazines, but they're kid magazines with strips and traditional comic books.
Yeah, it's just disappointing. It's like this here, like in most of Europe, like Norway, Finland, and Denmark, Disney comics beat newspapers in terms of sales, and they do them weekly.
Yeah. I think one of the issues going forward is just different audiences, and at the end of the day, IDW and Joe Books and Marvel and Dark Horse are only going to follow what's selling. If people aren't buying it, you could say, well, you could sell it differently or try and do it, but I just don't think kids are into it the same way. You know, they can watch an animated TV series on Mickey Mouse just like that. So that's why I read a comic book, and they have to use their imagination. It's just a sad of the times, I'm afraid. Okay, so now let's move on to our final thing just before we head off. So you got to see The Lion King this past week. I did see it over a week ago. So what did you think of the new Lion King?
It was okay. I wish we did a bit more changes.
Yeah, it's one of those movies, because it's funny, because I said me and James had the same conversation this morning about, it's like, if you took it on its own merit, if you said, like, take away the original one, sat there, it's like, it has a great cast, it looks stunning, it's one of the best looking one of the best looking movies you've ever seen. It's the animation is fantastic, it has got some great music, It has got a great story. It's got every single thing that you need to have a fantastic movie. And it is a fantastic movie. And I can't really say that enough. It is very, very good. But there's something missing. And because it's not the original, and the way they tweaked it around, you know, like when Pumbaa farts, they'd say it rather than where they stopped it, just to be almost that kind of thing of, oh, look, we can do something different. You know, they went so close to the original that when they did do it, when they jeered off from it, it felt a bit more jarring. But also, it's like there wasn't really any need for you to come off. You might as well just stayed on course and just done the same thing anyway. I don't know. It was a good movie. I enjoyed it. It's doing very well at the box office. I think it's going to cool off. I don't think it's going to continue that trend, because I think it was a bit of a weekend event, a bit of a event movie where people went and saw it.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a while for it to be a billion like Aladdin is.
Yeah, and I will be honest. Well, if you said to me at the beginning of the year, you know, we had Dumbo, Lion King, Aladdin, and then we've also got Lady and the Tramp on Disney Plus later this year. If you'd said were going to think that were the best, Lion King was going to be my favorite. And at the minute, Aladdin was so great. I enjoyed it because it worked in live action, whereas the Lion King was just a animated, computer-generated version of the National Geographic Channel, and it looked stunning.
Yeah.
Given that. But Aladdin did something that I wasn't expecting from Aladdin. Aladdin did something... Whereas Dumbo, I actually think is a really good movie, because I think they changed the story. It's they took the original story of Dumbo and like changed up and turned it into a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a follow the, you know, whereas Lion King is a follow the things. And I don't know, it's very, very true. I didn't like, it was like with Aladdin, I did actually end up liking how they changed the music. And I thought, like, Speechless, and I've said this before to you, I think it's a fantastic song and it works.
I just think it didn't fit where they put it. Like, they put it in the scene where Simba runs in the desert, which is a big chant in the original movie. It's like this big booming chorus just humming, and then it's like a pop song. It's like... totally ruins the vibe.
See, and I felt like more like that with The Lion King, where Nala's kind of, they threw this extra Beyonce song in, and I was like, you didn't need it here. It was like, you've had Nala singing, and now suddenly we've got Beyonce singing, and Nala isn't. And it was like, okay, and I know they did that whole Beyonce album, and I'll be honest, I haven't listened to it.
I listened to it. Basically, it's a bunch of songs done in like an African style with random audio from the movie between the songs. So it's like, it's a little weird.
But the thing is, as well, it's like something like that. That's like a different project, and that's allowed them to do something different and unique.
Yeah,
and
original. At first, I didn't even think it was official because there's no mention of Walt Disney Records or anything. I was like, okay, I think this is just a ripoff album or something.
I mean, there's a lot of people saying, you know, they're really enjoying it. And it's like, for me, it's not an album for me. It's fine. I've not got a problem with that. But it is odd. They were changing up the songs. And it was just a bit strange.
I would have said, if they had to put a song there, they should have put the Elton John song there. Because it's about being never being too late to change. It makes more sense than Spirit or whatever the name of the Beyonce song is.
Yeah, it's, I think the trouble is they were just trying to, you know, obviously Beyonce is such a powerful superstar that they wanted to use her in, and it's like, this movie didn't need that.
It just doesn't fit.
No, I don't know. I think there's a lot of Beyonce songs I like. This one here, it just felt like it was Beyonce as Nala was like, yeah, I don't know. It was just one of those. It was the one thing for me which didn't quite hit. And I can see why they're doing it. I think it's going to be a massive success for them. But I'll be interested to see what happens in the long run with. Because I think Aladdin is going to take off and be the one of the top of these like live action ones. Kind of I would almost say probably one of the considered one of the better ones. We're gonna have to see what happens with Mulan and all the rest of it. But
yeah, for sure.
And the Lion King's had this like really weird thing because it had a really bad critical reception. And yes. Now you could say, like, you know, we are on a podcast. It could
just be people that are nostalgic.
Yeah. And we obviously have nostalgia for that movie. So we probably are looking at it differently to maybe a critic who just that's their job. I would, you could say, well, we do a podcast, we're on a website, we write reviews and stuff, therefore we are critics. And it's like, yeah, okay, we are obviously critiquing it. But I can also state at the same time, yeah, it is actually, it's a really good movie. Did this movie need to exist? No. Would I have rather seen them do something fresh and original or a sequel or something like that? Yes, but
no doubt.
This movie did not need to exist. And I think there was just almost like this thing of like, oh yeah, the critics say it's horrible and everyone's gone and seen it. Like, and a lot of people I've seen on Facebook like, it's fantastic, I loved it. And there's a lot of people as well with the same thing and going, yeah. And there's nothing wrong, it's that kind of weird vibe of, I think so many people went to see it, whereas like people just didn't bother going and seeing Dumbo. I think
there is one thing I majorly liked.
Yeah.
Zazu, how they handled him. Basically, first thing first, they finally fixed that stupid plot hole from the original movie where Scar hits Zazu against the wall and he gets knocked out, and Zazu never brings it up in the movie. And he just stays with Scar. But in the remake, Scar makes him go away to the Pride. And then when Scar takes over, Zazu basically exiles himself from the kingdom.
Yeah.
And I think I really like that change, where he basically just sneaks in at night to speak with Nala.
Yeah, I think that was good. I just didn't like the actor who were doing that. I'm a big Rowan Atkinson fan. That's the trouble for me. So that was a bit like, we have him as Mr. Bean and Blackadder and
Hollow. I'm just used to different actors because he never came back for the sequels or anything like that. Yeah. So I'm just used to different actors taking over. But one thing that I hated was, I'm going to be honest, Donald Glover and James Earl Jones, their voice acting felt forced. Like, it just didn't have the same boom as the original movie. Like, well, James Earl Jones, you can tell it's just because he's older, but he's like, some of his line takes are really like bland. I don't know why. Like, compared to the original movie, it just doesn't have that same boom. It's like, he's just like, oh, I'm just reading from the script. It's like, okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't, if you hadn't mentioned that, I probably wouldn't have mentioned it, but I can see, maybe his strength, his voice might have gone and he reading it differently. I don't know. But I thought Glover playing it was fine. I didn't have a problem with that. I think it was more, I think Beyonce was and Zazu were the two voices that stood out to me as a little bit more jarring.
One thing, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I did like the new version. It just felt like a pop song.
The thing is with that song is I always prefer the Elton John version rather than the... Even in the animated one, I always preferred the Elton John version to the actual movie version. So I wasn't really blown away with it, but I was like, I love the Elton John version. I don't like the movie version. And it didn't really change. I think because of that, that was why I didn't even notice it, to be honest.
One last thing I would like to point out as a complaint is the songs visually lack. Like, I Just Can't Wait to Be a King. You see the backgrounds change color and you see these animals doing like these crazy towers and those kind of things. And in the remake, it's just them going through the watering hole from the Jungle Book. Hakuna Matata, it's a little bit blander. It's just been walking around, but the only time they got to be cartoony was during the Lion Sleeps Tonight song, where you saw the animals like bouncing around, where you see like the little squirrel thing jump and get a bug, and it's like super cartoony.
I'll be honest, I liked the way they I just can't wait to be king because it was a much more realistic way of doing it. I don't think it would have worked the way they did it in the original one. And I thought that worked well. You know, you're always waiting for it to kind of get going. But at the same time, how they handled it made complete sense. I thought it was a fantastic looking scene. It made sense. So they changed it to me, but it felt right. It felt, so that was the kind of thing. And Hakuna Matata, yeah, it was fine. I love the original. So again, it was that situation of it was never going to match up to the original. And they changed it. And it was like, okay. I did like the fact that they then did the proper Lion Sleeps Tonight. They did the whole thing and they turned that into a whole thing. I did like that scene.
And there was a extended version on the soundtrack too.
Yeah. So no, overall I liked it, but there was things I didn't like. And yeah, you know, like if I had to give it like a score out of 5, it'd be a 3. If I had to give one out of a 10, maybe a 7.
I gave it 7.
Yeah, 7 out of 10. You know, it's good. It's perfectly good. I don't even know if I'd buy it on Blu-ray.
I'm just gonna wait for a movie club to have it for like $10.
Yeah, I think when it comes, I certainly am not gonna be buying it on 4K at 25 quid. I'll be holding out on that one. But let us know in the comments below what you guys thought of all of the topics we talked about this week. Love to hear your thoughts. Remember to go check us out over at DizKingdom.com. You can like, follow, subscribe, etc. Matt, where can they find you?
They can find me on my YouTube channel, which is my name, Matthew LeBlanc, and I do travel vlogs for my tips around Europe and Disney World.
And on that note, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Later.